Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
A cliffhanger of an HOH leaves a showmance in shambles, but the power is back up for grabs. So who will take control of this crazy camp? We'll find out soon enough. But first, Ovi is here to give us an inside look at this hostile house. Welcome to the Big Brother After Show.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
break it.
Yeah.
Break it. Break it. We're dancing.
You can't see us, but we're dancing. We all watched the show together today. Like, it was pretty exciting. We all sat
in
like
a love
seat. It was like a love seat in Rachel's apartment.
Yeah, we were in Rachel's house. It was very special. Bryce sat on the floor.
I did. But we sat on the couch.
Yeah. The dogs were on the couch. It was only Bryce on the floor.
Good evening, guys. I'm Bryce McClain. Welcome to the Big Brother After Show. After a big risk, Cliff failed to get out arguably the biggest threat in the house. But we'll get to that in a second. First, let's introduce our panel. Jessica Williams.
What's up? So tonight is going to be such a good conversation. So you guys have to watch the whole show because we got stuff to talk about.
We were talking a lot. And then Rachel Swindler over here.
Yes, and I know what you're thinking. And yes, I did cut my hair, so...
You're very far away now, too.
But first, we have
Ovi on the line, but we'll get to him in just a second. But first, we just want to know what will be the fallout of Bella's eviction. We're going to talk about that. And which house guest will rise to power, because there is an HOH competition going on right now.
Yes.
We'll give you all of our predictions shortly. But without further ado, let's welcome a BB21 evicted house guest, Ovi. We are so excited to have you here.
Yay, Ovi!
How does it feel to be...
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, well, how does it feel to be out of that house?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a bittersweet... I won't even say it's a bittersweet feeling because I wanted to stay in the house. I wanted to compete. And I was really hoping to come back into that house and actually be a player and keep on. But, you know, you got to go with the cookie crumbles and life throws you lemons, so you got to make lemonade. So I'm outside of the house, but I've gotten so much support and love. And so it's been much easier than I thought it would be to transition back into the real world.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that must be nice.
Rachel may have had a different experience. Well, I want to ask you, obviously, you're caught up with what's been happening. So I wanted to know. Let's talk about Bella's eviction. Do you think that the past week after you've been out of the house, do you think that the house made the right move tonight, or what are your thoughts on this?
Man, first I'll say it's tough when you're in the house because you kind of have a tunnel vision and you only see your perspective. I think a lot of viewers know that from just watching my game and like screaming at the TV like, Ovi, what are you doing? So it's hard to say what's your best decision when you're really in the game. But from the outside perspective, I think it hurt them, actually. A lot of the people outside of the six shooters. Mm-hmm. And so the quote unquote the outsiders, it's tough for them because Bella was a number potentially for them. For Cliff, hindsight might be 2020. It might be better for him right now just because it might have saved him 2 weeks ahead, but what's going to happen after that? You don't have any soldiers on your side. So, it would have been awesome to see a shot be taken at Mickey or Jack, and I'm sad neither of them are going home tonight, and it is Bella instead.
Yeah. Well, first off, can I just say that we are live in our live chat, and everyone is so excited that you are on.
Yeah, people,
John Hamm, he's like, oh my gosh, my hero is here tonight. Brianna, she said, oh my God, I love watching you so much, and I miss you on the show already. People are like, yes. So you have full-on fans that are watching right now.
Mm-hmm. And well, that's really sweet.
So my question for you is, you know, there is something about you still being in the house and not being able to play that was an advantage because your game wasn't so much at risk. So why not? What was the tactic or the theory behind stirring up the pot a little bit and causing drama since you were kind of untouchable?
Yeah, I mean, in one side, yeah, you are untouchable, but from another side, you don't know how you're supposed to go back in the game. So from Julie's words, it's your social game will help you potentially get out of camp comeback. It was something worded like that. So in our heads, we're not sure if there's going to be a social component to get back in the house. I didn't think it would be a vote because that's too unfair to whoever went out first. That would be David. But there might have been some sort of social component. So in my head, I said that I'm going to make sure no one thinks I'm bitter against them, that they voted me out. I'm going to play kind of dumb, and that wasn't really that hard to do in that house. And I'm just going to make everyone think I'm just trying to be as nice as possible so that they don't hold anything against me. So I wasn't trying to stir up the pot because my goal was to get back in the game and then stir up the pot a little bit by making some big moves.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with that. I mean, if I was voted into Camp Comeback, I feel like I would have done exactly that. I just would have been nice. I would have been understanding. I mean, again, I can't even imagine if I was blindsided by my own alliance and I was sent to Camp Comeback. And I was like, guys, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But then again, I don't think a blindside like that would have happened, but Cliff's did. So, yeah. But I mean... Yeah. I would have done exactly that. It did not stir the pot because I mean, that's just me as a person. I feel like we're kind of similar, Ovi. Maybe we're not the pot stirrers. We're like, oh, it's okay.
Meanwhile, I'm like, stir it up, whip it good.
Yeah. And I think another factor is that we had Kemi come right after me, and Kemi already kind of stirred the pot. So from just our side, we could see like things are going, some sort of chaos is happening right now. And so at that point, it was just, maybe we just sit back and watch what happens, you know, from that side. But then, as y'all could see, you know, actions were in the house, and it's changed a little from game to personal. And that's kind of when, you know, I felt that some things have to be said.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, before we get into that, I know that you mentioned that you said you didn't think it would be a vote that you guys would get back into Camp Comeback. But I'm surprised by that only because, and you said it would be unfair to David, but he got basically into Camp Comeback the same day you did. So you got, I mean, I guess he was not there for a couple of days. Yeah. But to me, I felt like that was I was disappointed that there wasn't a vote. I feel like that would have been the most logical thing and a way to differentiate from someone getting back into the game as in previous seasons.
Well, yeah. He technically wasn't there 2 weeks because there is 2 weeks, right? It was about 2 weeks until David came back.
Oh, there was 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, right. So that is kind of a long time.
That's a good point, though, because honestly, if they would have allowed for some type of endurance or a challenging cop like they did, but you get tokens, depending on how many people voted for you, you could have that advantage. So it would be a combination of both.
It could be a balance.
I like that.
And that's kind of what we thought, that it would be the House potentially would have kind of a say in the competition, whether it be that the House has to vote somebody to go into the final round, America votes another person to go to the final round, and then the other two Camp Comebackers fight for one competition, and then all three of them compete, kind of like a stage. So we threw out so many theories, but it was a rolling game type of balance, and we were all kind of surprised and a little disappointed that was the competition.
Yeah,
that is amazing. Well, speaking of the comeback kid himself, Cliff, I wanted to know. I know that you guys you have a great relationship with him inside the house, and I wanted to know how you feel he's playing the game since he's been back in.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Cliff got blindsided and then he came back, and an awesome story that he won HOH, and so his first move was to put Jack and Mickey on the block, and then after conversations happened, he got swayed a little bit. I really do wish, you know, if I was in his ear, I would have tried to, you know, right now I can say that, who knows what I would have done.
Yeah,
but I'd like to think that I would have told Cliff that, hey, we need to actually, instead of putting Bella up, because I wasn't the biggest fan of Bella at that time either, but we realized kind of the power structure, how it was getting set, especially David saw that really clearly.
Yes.
So he talked more about it with me too, and we discussed that. But we knew that if we want Jack to go home, we need to put Tommy or Christy next to him because they probably won't get voted out, and we need to ensure that Jack goes home. So it was a strong move putting Jackson next to him, but then when he goes down, you need to replace it with somebody else. So I was really happy for him, but at the same time, I was like, ugh, Cliff.
Yeah.
You need to put the dagger in. You need to put the dagger
in. Yeah, finish what you started.
Well, that's what you said, Rachel. You said that you were going to ask Ovi if he, like, thought he would, if you would be able to talk him out. Like,
That was my one question that I was going to be for you, was what you would have done in the house to, you know, would you have gone after someone else from the Six Shooters, or would you have been on the safer side and get Bella out? But I mean, you just gave us your answer basically.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bella and Nick didn't have much love for me in the house from the beginning, I believe, and so even though it would have felt some way to put him up. It wouldn't have been a smart game move at my point, because I need to figure out a way to kind of take the outsiders and this power six right here and take a shot at them. So I probably would have leaned towards putting Jack and Tommy up there instead of Jack and Jackson or Jack and Christy. Mm-hmm. And then you could at least flush the power that Christy had.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
That's what I thought.
And so I wish even if he put Bella up there, he would have tried to flush Christy's power, because now she has another week right. to use that.
Well,
No,
sorry.
No,
keep going.
Sorry, I don't mean to keep going on.
No, you're fine. We like to hear
yeah,
it. Keep
we
going.
Want to hear from you.
Yeah, not
no
me.
No one wants to talk to us.
Yeah, I was so last year. Go ahead.
No. Y'all are great.
No, I was so never, so just keep going.
Yeah, I just think, you know, Bella could have been a target for down the line, too. And from Cliff's side, too, he's trying to buy himself safety at least 2 weeks. But then after that, he has to go on a tear to be able to go back and forth with an HOH. And I don't know how the competition is going right now. But what I saw, it wasn't one of the outsiders who potentially will win this HOH.
So well, I'm always curious, just because it's so fascinating as a viewer. We see everything that happens, right? We see what you say. We see what your other people promise you, and then what's really said in the DR. So going back, it was such a cringe moment when, you know, you thought that you were a part of this alliance, and Christy's like, oh, my God, you're safe. And you're like, yes, this is amazing. And then they totally screw you over. So going back and watching it, how did that make you feel seeing what was really going down, and what would you have done differently, if anything?
Oh, man, it's tough. It's, you know, that hurt. That yeah. really hurt knowing that. And I want to explain kind of my logic doing that, because I came into the game thinking I'm going to play a rational game and base a lot of moves on, like, game theory, which would be, like, the game theory says that you're going to do whatever a person's going to do is going to do for their best benefit. So I was in my head thinking that if I make these people understand that there's no way that I'm going to target them, me being mm-hmm. in this house will best benefit them, why would they want to put me up in any case, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was basing on that. Why would you want to put me up week one when you already know that I won't vote for you? I put somebody out that you don't know is that close to you. And so having that, me being blindsided, being put up there, and then finding out, you know, there was, and I found out there was an 8-person alliance and then a 6-person, like, down the road after yeah. Everything
after
happened.
You, and then you told them there was one.
Yes, and I told them. I made sure that if they didn't already know that they formed an 8-person alliance, I yeah. said, knock, knock, hey, I think somebody's forming it. And so, no, definitely not my smartest move.
I loved it.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that happened, and it's something, you know, you beat yourself over a lot into, and I realized that down the road. But when you make your mistakes, you got to own them. And I always said it after the show, I would definitely own them. I'm not trying to have like a rose tinted glass and looking back yeah. at it. But if mm-hmm. there's, to your question, if there's anything I would have changed from there, probably not tell the 8-person alliance there's an 8-person thing forming. Keep the information to myself.
Yeah.
But it was day 5 when I heard that. It was day okay. 6. And I already knew that I needed to get something out there and create something solid.
Yeah.
And so that way I was thinking that if I use that as a catalyst, that there might be an 8-person alliance forming. And when I even heard about it, I didn't even hear 8-person alliance forming. I just heard 8-person. So I was thinking that use this as a catalyst to make them, if they're not already knowing about, they'll make an alliance and form against the 8-person alliance. But everything blew up a little bit.
I have one quick question. For me, those first couple of days in the house that we don't get to see are the most crucial days of forming alliances yeah. and really creating bonds, because level 6 was formed on day 2. Mm-hmm. So, like, I knew who I was going to align with day 1 or 2. So yeah. I'm wondering for you, did you know who you were going to align with day 1 or 2? Or was it like you were at day 5 and you were like, whoa, where's my alliance yeah. at? I don't know if who...
Yeah.
How was it for you?
No. Yeah, no, most definitely. You know, I'm a fan of the show, so I know, like, you know... heard that most alliances are made in the first 3 days. So if you don't already have an alliance mm-hmm. made, you are kind of something's going wrong. So, you know, the second day, that initial week, I felt pretty close with a lot of people in there. You know, okay. I felt close with Jackson. With Jackson, I had a Tennessee bond with, so I didn't, you know, we felt that we yeah. could carry that through. I bonded with Sis too. At least I thought I bonded with Sis in yeah. the beginning too. And so we talked about in that first week, I think, and I don't know if it was feasible that we will have a potential final two together.
Was that the only like game talk of thing you had? Did anybody like come to you and be like, I think we should form an alliance together? Did you go to anybody and say, I think we should form an alliance? Did any alliance talk happen?
Yeah, between Sis and I, we had some alliance talk happen there too. We didn't give a name to anything, and so I don't know if it's like, is it a relationship if it's on Facebook? Is it Facebook official?
Yeah,
so
no, I hear you.
Where did that nickname come from? I just want to, where did Sis come from?
I think that's just her nickname from home.
Like, why did you guys?
Oh, she told us day one when we were introducing each other. She's like, hey, y'all, don't call me Annalise. I don't like that name. Call me Sis. That's all what my friends call me back
Annalise,
home.
Sis.
All my soccer mates. So we're just like, and at first I was like, it's kind of a little weird. I don't want to call this person. I just met Sis.
But you didn't,
you didn't call her. You didn't call her Annalise?
No. Annalise? I didn't call it that.
You needed bread in the house.
You needed bread for that one.
No, we didn't have that in the house. I called her Annalise a lot later down the line, too, after I was like,
yeah,
I'm not really about calling Sis, but yeah, I had those forms. Cliff and I had a bond there too. And honestly, Mickey and Jack and I talked. We talked about four people actually. We talked about four people.
Gotcha.
Jack, myself, and Holly, I think, was in the mix at that point. So wow. I felt there was something there, and we all kind of talked around it. And
they lie and cover in their bases.
Yeah, and so I felt that I was safe in a sense, but obviously not. And I think some people had my wanted a gun for me right from the beginning before I even did anything.
So weird.
Who do you think wanted a gun? Who do you think was gunning for you?
You know, looking back, I think some people in that the six shooters. I think Jack was somebody for whatever the reason. I think there's probably some implicit biases at play. I think there are some things that in his mind before I even said anything that he had certain feelings about me, and so he was gunning for me. And from my mindset, that he wanted to get me out so bad when he knew that I wasn't trying to target him at whatsoever.
Yeah.
It did not make much sense in my mind why he would want to target me so viciously like that when
exactly.
I did nothing personally game-wise towards him.
Yeah, and it was so I mean, it was really hard for me, especially in the scene of you guys in the storage room. The scene, I say.
Oh my
the
God,
scene
yeah.
with the way you're like, is there a problem? And he's like, no, man, there's not a problem. And I'm like, well, actually, there is, because you're talking defensively. So at really, really, as a viewer, that hurt my feelings so bad. I was like, why are you speaking to him that way? You're talking down to him. So that was just, as a viewer, very difficult to watch, because we can clearly tell that you're a very kind, intelligent soul. So I apologize on behalf of all BB alum and viewers.
No, well, I appreciate that.
Well, and that is very true. Like, I mean, we saw you, Ovi, you know, obviously you have another very strong bond with Nicole, and we saw you go defend her when the undeniable was in the HOH room, kind of shutting people out. And I just wanted to know, you know, I mean, I think you explained it on TV, but just to hear from your own words, you know, what kind of spurred you to do that? And is it really that bad in there? I mean, like, what is the, what's, you know.
The climate.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'll break apart that question right there, because I'll talk about first, like, that whole, my bond with Nicole. Nicole was one of those few people in that house is that I felt really comfortable with. Because when you're in the house, and Rachel, you know, there's such huge personalities out there. And in my real life, I like to think I'm a pretty big personality with my guys. We're having so much fun. Everybody's doing that. But we're always making sure that everyone has a chance to kind of speak. In that house, people just always talk over you.
And so annoying.
Yeah, and I just told myself that, you know what, maybe once in my life, you know, I'm just going to kind of sit back and let things happen around me and then just try to play a social game. But, like, you don't get to connect with people when you just keep – like, I would listen to people talk, and they wouldn't listen. They would just wait to talk. But Nicole was very different about that. We talked about, you know, our past, and she talked about how she's advocated for people with disabilities, things like that that I have some sort of experience with, and we just connected. And one, like, shout out to all the teachers out there, because that is such a thankless job out there that deserves so much more things than it gets, and Nicole does that. And so I was just thinking, you are an incredible woman, and we just connected on there, and then it was easy. So within that house, you could see the isolation start to form, the ostracization happened to, like, the camp comebackers. I've experienced things like that in my life, but in the real life, you can walk away from it, and you just, you say nothing. You're like, I'm not about it. You're not going to treat me like that. But in the Big Brother house, is a little different, because your social game, and especially being Camp Comeback, might be dependent on these other people. So you don't want to upset anybody. So I've taken a lot in my life, and it's fine. I was like, I'm in this Big Brother house. I can take what I need, whatever they throw at me, and I'm just going to trug along. I'm going to get back in this game, and they're going to regret it, because I'm going to try to get them out. But it crossed the line when you start coming at my friends and you start trying to isolate them for absolutely no reason, especially it was Nicole who they might have viewed as a small, shyer person, so they could pick on him. If it was anybody else, they probably would not have acted like that. And so that kind of just like grinded my gears. And I always told myself, they always ask you, what is the thing that upsets you about the most? What's your pet peeve? And my thing was always that if someone's being disrespectful to somebody else, I'm going to call it out. And so in that moment, I was just like, I'm seeing everybody near me and they're looking so like upset, sad. And I'm upset about this moment. And I've always said, like, I'm just going to keep my head down, just keep going forward. But at that moment, I was just like, if I don't say something now, when am I ever going to? So it's there's certain values you got to hold, I think, especially outside and inside the house. And I wasn't going to let people treat Nicole, Jessica, Cliff, and the other people like that.
Yep, let's give so you that, a nice round of applause right there.
That's really so admirable.
Because we were all rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. We were out here. We were like, yes. And I would hope I would have done the same thing if I was in the house. In fact, I would have. So thank you.
Exactly. No, this is a good crossover to just another topic that's so big in our country and in the Big Brother house, which is race relations. And, you know, it was a lot of chatter, especially in the first few weeks, about the people that were targeted head on. And there are certain dynamics to this show. I've watched every season, and I, being a person of color, a woman of color, I see the changes in how people of color are targeted early on. And so we see it as the viewers. So I want to know, being in the house and being in the climate of the house and the atmosphere, did you feel targeted, and for those purposes in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I think you as a person of color, you can attest to this too. A lot of times you want to think actions taken against you aren't because rooted in prejudice, racism, bigotry, but it's just because of a game move. And that's what you want to think, because you want to think it's 2019. Why would people act like this, especially on national television when everybody can see? Why would anybody be dumb enough to do that? But you start seeing trends happen within the house, and you start noticing a pattern, and you'd be dumb enough to keep saying that it's just it has nothing to do with prejudice or initial implicit biases. And then, you know, there was a conversation that David and I had, and we were looking at it. Was I think we were in the kitchen, and we were looking at the memory wall, and it was just kind of like a bit of sadness. We're saying, like, wow, there's definitely a pattern there. And he's like, yep. I think he said, it's looking pretty colorful.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, this is really sad. And I said, we're different. David, we've always been different than people. And that's no different. That doesn't change in this house. But it's sad that, you know, that people are targeting us because of our differences. And so you definitely see there's certain actions, like in the beginning too, and it makes much more sense, like when I was looking at day 26, 27, looking back at the days, why would somebody target other people in the house over others when they'd be better for their game?
Right.
There had to be exactly. some sort of bias in play. And
especially when Jackson went at, or Jack went after Kimmy, like that Kimmy. Whole thing was like, but why?
Or even Jackson aside from that, even Jackson going out, it's just bullying. It's just, I mean, like even Jackson going after Nicole when he threw in the vote and then wanted to pin it on her for what?
Why?
He's this, she's not a threat to him at all, like physically, mentally, and the same thing with Jack and Kemi. It's like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, the treatment, and now we see a lot of things said behind closed doors, and those are disgusting. That none of that behavior should ever be condoned. Like that, the things they've said about David, they've said about Kemi, and even myself too. But like, you don't say those type of things, especially in this day and age. We've come so far, and for you to even say those things at all reverts us back and shows us that we have a lot more to do. But what you said, that Big Brother can be a reflection of our country, I think that's true a lot too. We see a lot of race tensions right now in the real world, where we're walking, we're in our streets. A lot of communities of color don't feel safe walking around. And you see that almost reflected in the Big Brother house, in a sense that at one point that the only place that we felt like we could belong was in Camp Comeback.
That's so sad.
That gave me chills.
That just gave me chills too.
Yeah, that's...
And I just personally want to say, because then I'm... For me, playing the game last year and then having something that I said blow up, and then being attacked on Twitter and
repeatedly,
and that definitely affected me. Even though I felt like it wasn't as harsh as other people that have played the game, but looking back on it now, after seeing this season go on, I don't know why, it's just speaking to me so much more, and it's making me look at our society and at this in such a different way that I've never looked at Big Brother before. But it's opened my eyes and it's made me personally become a better person from playing the game and then watching it this season and seeing how things have unfolded. And it is, it does feel like it is a bit of a reflection of society. And it's makes me feel like I've grown as a person and I've learned and I've gained a lot more. So
that's good.
I think that's awesome. One positive thing I can take away and everybody can take away. So growth in 2019.
Well, absolutely. And Big Brother. You know, Big Brother has always been kind of this micro world of itself, and that's why it's the greatest social experiment. I think that's why people watch it every year all the time, because it is a reflection of who we are. We have a convergence of people that are from different backgrounds, different walks of life, different ways of being raised, and they come into this house and they're forced to live and not go anywhere. So I think, you know, it is, I think what everyone has said here is, it's just amazing that, you know, it is a reflection of who we are, and whether for better or for worse.
Learning lessons and an eye opener. And
I'll say two quick things. I don't want to keep going on, but the one thing I want to say is that we're given such an amazing platform to be on the Big Brother show, and we can't just be bystanders within the house too. I think it's really important. We have to be active bystanders within the game and outside the game. And if people watching the show say, this is horrible, what are they doing? People need to realize that that's also happening in the outside world too.
So we
can't just call that out on social media. We need to be calling out, whether that's in your schools, you see another student who's a person of color being discriminated, whether that's a person, a friend talking about it, or believing somebody who has that experience and not just discounting them. So I think a big important thing is that when you watch the show, it can be a learning experience for a lot of people. When you say, like, how could that happen? Well, that's probably happening to people around you too.
It is 100%. It is, yeah.
Absolutely.
Love that.
Just be active bystanders. I think that's really important.
Before we let you go, let's say on the little lighter side of things, like, who do you think the next target is going to be, or who should be the next target? Go ahead, you answer. I don't need to give any parameters.
The next target, I mean, it depends who wins the HOH right now. I'm assuming they're going to...
But who do you want to win then?
Who do I?
I'm just throwing them at
you.
You know, I would have loved Nicole to bring this one out, but I don't think I think before they even cut off the whole thing, she fell.
Right.
Sorry. Sam and Nick, I don't know if they're still in there. I don't think they are. I don't think they have a chance, but it would have been good to have Sam win the HOH. But, you know, I think Kat was holding on. I'd like to see Kat, if she could win it, because then she might do something that we're not expecting. Because I think if Christy, Jack, Mickey, Tommy, Sis, Holly, any of those win it, we can probably expect they're going to target Sam and Nick. So I don't want to see those six win. I want to see something, you know, as a fan too, and not just a person like who loves those people, like some of those people in the house. I want to see something that the house be flipped a lot. Yes. No one as a fan likes to see an alliance bulldoze throughout the whole season, especially if they're not the most likable.
When I got evicted, I was going back. I was like, go Festy, win that competition. Yeah. I was like, cheer for the other side. And everybody's like, traitor, how could you? Level six. I'm like, dude, I'm a fan of the show. I want to see the power shift. Dear.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
Okay, and also, Ovi, I did put a little poll on Instagram, and I had some fan questions, so I just wanted to do that, and so I could shout a couple of those out. So they're just kind of random. I'm going to pick. So this one is from Heather22. Okay. Do you wish you could have been on a prior season of Big Brother, and if so, which season are you, or are you happy with the season you were on?
That's a good question.
You know, right now, I'd probably say I wish I could be on a prior season of Big Brother other than season 21. It's hard to say which season would I like to play in. I mean, I think, you know, season 20 would have been a really fun season to play with, because there's a lot of people that I think I would have meshed really well with. And I think that would have been a fun season. Because the thing is, people get me and they're like, you're a real nice guy coming out of the show. We love you, things like that. But, like, I'm a competitor. I really wanted to stay in the game so I could compete. And I didn't care as much if people liked me if I left the show, but I really wanted just to compete. So I feel, you know, I didn't have as much of a chance I'd like to do that. So season 20 would have been great. I loved Hayden in Big Brother 12. I wanted to create a strong alliance. That was like one of my goals. That would have been fun to play in, like, if I could have been a legendary brigade, you know? But those are just some seasons that I think I would really like to play. I got to meet a lot of the Big Brother 20 people and, you know, like yourself and everything. So it's been fun. So Yeah. Okay. I would like to play last season if I could.
Well, I agree with you. And then H-Rush 5, you've learned about some of the connections in the house now, right? With Christy and Tommy. Mm-hmm. You've learned that Holly and Catherine know each other through a circle, pageant circle. And also, yeah, there is apparently a connection between Jackson and Holly. We're following each other on Instagram.
And Ovi and
did y'all know each other? Did you know Jackson at all?
We did not. We did not know each other at all. Okay. That's not, we're on different parts of campus, I think.
So you never knew of him or, like, even ran around the same circle as him?
Never ran around. I never met him. My girlfriend knew who he was, and maybe not for the best reasons.
So we're on following each other?
I really wanted a duo.
Were you guys following each other on social prior?
No, we didn't know each other at all. I mean, the school was 29,000 people. Mm-hmm.
But now that you know that, like, do you feel like that's an unfair advantage? Because as we look at the house, all those people are in an alliance together. Well, except for kind of Kat, but not really.
I mean, if I'm going to be honest, it did bother me finding that out. And I mean, there is twists in the game where people know each other prior, but having a connection like Christy and Tommy, where they've had pictures with each other since 2012, I believe, that's a connection right there that you could not even make in the day 90, like be there for your final two. They are instant final two people when they see each other in the house, and we're going all the way, you know? I think that's a little unfair to some of the other house guests like myself and other people who are just getting to meet. Because when you go in Big Brother, unless this is a formal twist where everyone has some sort of pair, there's like a twist in it, you expect 16 house guests to go in and 16 house guests not to know each other. You know?
Right.
And there's so many applicants out there. It shouldn't be that hard to find no crossover there.
You're
and then
absolutely right.
Having Holly and Kat know
I had told Bryce, I said, you cling on to anything tangible in that house to kind of be like, I need to align with this person. Okay, this is my person. Because I was telling them, I saw Angela was from South Carolina. I saw Tyler was from South Carolina, which is where I'm from. And I was like, I definitely want to align with these people because it feels like it's home.
Right.
So 100% there, that it feels like that was an unfair advantage. And if I were you, I would have been pissed too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Question. Okay. Well, Ovi, thank you so much for joining us tonight and coming on and talking. It was very illuminating, and we just really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really had a good time, and if y'all ever need anything in the future, I'd be more than happy to help.
Don't tell us that. Thanks so much, Ovi. Enjoy your time outside the house.
We love you. Cheers to your girlfriend, Hannah.
Cheers. Bye.
I will.
Okay.
I'll take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was good.
That was good.
Viewers really, our chat is popping.
Good.
I'm on like 1%, by the way, is about to go down. But
you've taken us down.
You guys are in here, and you guys really enjoyed, everything that he was saying and relating. And also, some people were commenting about the conversation that we were just having in reference to Rachel's season and some of the comments that she made. And it seems like it's a general consensus in our chat that people were not so much offended by the comments that Rachel said during her seasons, but by the comments that Angela said. And that's something that you and I spoke about earlier, because you kind of got dragged into the whole drama more so because her comments were offensive. I personally, being the woman of color, I was not offended by your comments because you were not attacking a race. So it kind of sucks that you are getting so much negative attention around it.
And it's like, I'm not getting a ton, but as of right now, with there being like this whole, you know, everything going on with the race, with this season, it seems like, you know, people are coming out from the woodworks and it's like attack. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I want to touch base on Jeff Schroeder's thing real quick, just so we can touch on that. Jeff Schroeder did put out a video with Daily Blast Live. He wanted to comment on the current BB21 situation, and he said that on Twitter that he had grown a lot as a person since his time 10 years ago on Big Brother, and he tries to learn from all of his mistakes to become a better father, husband, host, and friend, but he's not perfect. And he says, if I offended anybody, I'm sorry, and here's my take. And then he goes into his take on the controversy, which he stated, which I agree with, that in that house, It does not, we're not condoning the type of people that, we're not condoning their behavior. We're not saying that it's right. We're not saying it's right what Jack has said. We're not saying it's right what Nick has said or Jackson has said. We're not saying it's right. But do we burn them at the stake? Do we condone them? No. But we support them into being better people and better members of society. That is the one way that we can all band together instead of banding together in hate. Hold them accountable, but hold them accountable in a way that they're going to become a better person after this and not a worse person.
Absolutely.
But I agree with that. But what I will say is that that's only if a person can come away from the situation, reflect, and learn and grow.
Yes.
Because there's people
if
like
Aaron.
They have
Aaron, that capacity.
There's people like Aaron who
From season 15,
who is like one of the most vile contestants, in my opinion, that was wrapped up in controversy for racism because she was not... She was so unrepentant. Like, she was so like, oh, it's fine what I said. And she kind of used her negativity and her racism in the house to kind of catapult a new career for herself. And so she didn't see anything wrong with it. So in that case, burn them at the stake.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
But no.
If they don't learn from their mistakes, then yes.
It's not burning it. But yes, I got the sentiment. Well, I want to ask you guys before we go, I want to ask you guys from the episode that we just saw, latest episode that we just saw watched on a love seat, which is beautiful with two dogs.
Yes.
but I want to know, are you guys a little sad that Bella left, or are you guys happy about it?
Well, I know your answer.
I'm going to let y'all talk first.
Okay, I wanted Jack gone. I find him to be very unappealing. I find him to be very cocky and full of himself. And even his eviction speech tonight, I was like turning away because I was like, ugh. I mean, I know how it is with Big Brother. I might like him in 3 weeks. I don't know. But right now, in this moment, he's just, and not in this moment since the season started. Yeah. He's just not doing it for me. And so I would have liked to see him leave.
See, I was telling you guys this, I think, but I feel like Bella, you know, I think she made a lot of mistakes, and I didn't think she was going to win the game or anything, but I really felt that there was something about her that she's extremely intuitive, she's very smart, and she can see things in different ways, and if she were able to have reined that in and would have used that to her advantage, she would have been such a good player. I just feel like she had so much potential. Ways back, not right. Before she blew up every alliance that she had and was talking, told everyone every single thought. But I mean, Rachel, you and I were saying that everybody wanted to work with her for some reason.
Yeah, everybody in the beginning.
It just feels like there was such potential there that she didn't. I mean, I wanted Jack on too, but I mean, frankly, both of them needed to go, and Bella had worn out her welcome, but I just really thought that she had a lot of potential, and I'm just kind of bummed that we never really got to see that. I'm hoping that a player that can be, but I do want to ask you, because you were talking about, you know, that you're now, I mean, I don't know what happened,
well,
but you're now six shooters, that's what you told us.
Yeah, but first off, if I can just say first, Bryce, your teeth are so white.
Thank you.
So mesmerized as you're talking.
I just got them clean today.
Okay, they're like my hand.
Thank you, guys. Wow,
number one. Number two, so... Everybody wanted to work with Bella at the beginning because Bella is so likable. She was my favorite person off the top. I'm like, she's funny. I love her. I want to be her friend. That changed. She unfortunately got drunk with power and drunk with her security.
Without any power.
Right.
Without
but
any. Yeah.
It's like extended power. Her security in the house and knowing that she was a part of this big alliance, she intentionally went around, made false alliances just to burn people at the stake. And she kept doing it over and over and over again. And even the Nicole thing was just like the end of the line for
it.
Me.
Yeah.
How disgusting she was and how she talked about her and personally insulted her and drug her through. This week, I'm like, you get what you deserve. So I was thoroughly enjoying every single bit of it. And because of it, it made me flip. This is the magic with Big Brother. Regardless of like, okay, I may not have liked moves that they made or their personalities, I am a game player. So I can set some of that aside and say, okay, guys, come on, six shooter, shoot her down. Whoa, I'm kind of violent today. Not shoot her down, but you know, like pow, pow, get her out. No, in real life. So I flip. So I found myself only because Bella and Nick now went to Cliff and went to the other side. I'm now over here rooting for Mickey and Jack. I'm like, who is this person? I'm like, get him, get him. So then
you're rooting for Jack.
I did. I was rooting for Jack. I was rooting for... I wanted... I was so mad at Christy this week. I'm like, use the power. Save your alliance. There's six people that will help you. You don't want to use your power because Cliff may be mad. I just... She is so exhausting to my soul. Mm-hmm. I can't even describe it. Christy and her antics, and you hit it before, Bryce. You said that she's like previous contestant and house guest, Vanessa.
Vanessa.
Yes, just
Vanessa.
Psycho for no reason totally all Vanessa. The time. Yeah. Get level-headed and play this game, girl. Chin up, buttercup, and make some moves. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, but I think what you said was great is that that is the magic of Big Brother, that you can, it's like almost like Game of Thrones. You shift the focus and you shift who you're rooting for, even if these people have been, you know, dastardly or vile before. Yeah.
And I will say, because I want to just touch real quick on Cliff. Cliff made some pretty... poignant Cliff notes tonight about why he went the other, why he did what he did. Mm-hmm. And I gotta tell you, I was over here sitting, I'm like, Cliff done made the dumbest move of his life. And then I was sitting there and I was like, well, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see. I am so excited to see how far Cliff can go. Because maybe those showmances might break up.
Yeah, maybe.
They did. Yeah. I hope for Cliff's sake they do.
Well, who do you think's gonna who's going to be the target this week?
Nick, who should be? Nick and Sam. Mm-hmm.
Nick and Sam.
Yep. Nick and Sam. But if Kat wins HOH, if Kat wins HOH, I don't know what.
They're going to get her.
Yeah,
they're going to get her to
so
do the
close
dirty
to
work.
Holly, yeah.
But I can't see her putting up. I can't see Kat putting up like Nicole and. Well, she maybe put up.
She just goes crazy.
I don't know what the heck Kat will do, but I'm here for it, to be honest with you.
Kat puts up Jack and Mickey. That'd be amazing.
Oh my gosh. What if Kat put up Jack and Mickey?
Incredible. She wouldn't.
I nominate Mickey.
Yeah. What was that?
She's so random.
She goes, I vote to evict Mickey.
Right.
Julie's like, excuse me?
Looking at this roster, nobody by that name here, honey.
That was funny.
Oh, my gosh. Well, final thoughts, you guys? We've taken up a whole show.
I hope Kat won HOH.
Yeah, I agree. That would be good. Or I kind of want one of these girls that's kind of been standing behind the man. I want for them to, like... be a, not exposed, but like Holly or somebody.
You said Holly.
I want Holly to win just to see what she does, if anything different. Like, switch it up a bit. But I'm not gonna lie. I'm kind of like put up Nick and Sam and get Nick out now because I did not enjoy how he was so against Kimmy mm-hmm. in the way that he was. So I do have some. I flip guys.
I know who it's between.
Oh.
No spoilers.
Oh,
spoilers.
You
no
like,
for the viewers.
I will tell you.
For the viewers.
You guys, that's it for us. Tune in next Thursday for another show, after show following a live eviction. And if you want even more Big Brother 21 coverage, be sure to check out Big Brother Small World with JC every Tuesday night right here on AfterBuzz TV. I think it's at 7. But thank you so much to Ovi. That was such an awesome interview.
Love you, Ovi.
We really, really appreciate that. Thank you so much for coming. Come back anytime you ever want. But until next time, I'm Bryce McClay. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Bryce Advice.
And I'm Jessica Williams. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Jessica WW and on Instagram at Miss Jessica Williams. And we do read your comments underneath the YouTube video, so please like and subscribe.
Because we are the ESPN of Talk TV. And I'm Rachel Swindler, and you can follow me on at Rachel Swindler on Instagram or at Rachie Swin on Twitter.
Yay! Yes.
Thanks, guys. From outside the Big Brother house and inside AfterBuzz Studios, good night.
Good night.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.